Yesterday, the word on Wall Street was Omicron. Today, it was buy. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the second day of December. Thanks so much for coming by and being with us again today. In other business news headlines, some oil pricing news for you. The government shutdown has news. Hey, Minnesota, you get the first Shake Shack drive-thru. A new survey suggests awful news about the labor shortage, well, depending on who you're talking to. More diversity is happening, at least on the tube and in movies. The Tesla move is complete, sort of. CEOs are complaining of high costs, but not their skyrocketing profits. A big business lesson today. The Wall Street Report, we've got that, and Square is soon to become Block. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Taro International, a training company that helps business leaders succeed. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. Focus and find socially responsible recruiting centered on helping businesses build a diverse workforce that is both innovative and productive. FocusandFind.com. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is also supported by the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original ag parts recyclers with members worldwide. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, you can reach us on Twitter. It's easy. All you have to do is do @IOB_NewsHour. Well, the market shrugged off concerns about the Omicron variant and got busy moving the major averages higher on the day. It would seem that investors were focusing on two things. The first was the opportunity to buy on the dip, but the second, and more important, investors reduced their panic and replaced it with listening to the science. In addition, President Biden today, in a live address, sought to calm the nation, saying his administration has launched a full-on plan to continue to get people vaccinated, boosted, and provide faster access to testing. The markets? I'll share those numbers with you in just a bit. On the other side of the ledger was the price of oil. U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude oil futures jumped on Thursday to recover losses from the past two sessions. The commodity price settled at $66.50 a barrel, rising by nearly 1% on the day after hitting a low of $62.43 at session lows. The moves coincided with the news that OPEC and its allies decided to stick to their previously made plan to increase output by 400,000 barrels a day, starting in January. Well, there's news about the U.S. government shutdown. Early in the day, congressional leaders announced they had reached a deal to keep the federal government open past midnight on Friday. Though some of both House Democratic and Republican lawmakers had spoken favorably of the bill, a group of conservative Republicans have held out over disagreement with the Biden administration's federal vaccination and testing mandates for some workers. Yeah, you heard that correctly. Shut the nation down rather than get people vaccinated and tested. Minnesota is going to be the recipient of the first U.S. Shake Shack drive-through. Congratulations. Eat This, Not That is reporting that it will feature a two-lane ordering system, a separate pickup window, and perhaps most importantly, an entirely separate kitchen for drive-through orders, which they say will increase its efficiency. It will also have all of the traditional features of a well-oiled fast food operation, like digital menu boards and employees taking orders and payments at multiple points in the drive-through line. The chain's first drive-through will open at 11 o'clock in the morning on Monday, December 6th in Maple Grove, Minnesota. And according to QSR Magazine, it will not be the only drive-through Shake Shack is going to be operating, at least not for a long time. The company announced plans to open 9 more by the end of next year. You know, for months we've been reporting on the labor shortage that has impacted nearly every facet of business from manufacturing to food service to delivery. Now a new survey suggests this labor crunch will be with us for some time to come. The right-leaning U.S. Chamber of Commerce polled 529 Americans who became unemployed during the pandemic and have not returned to work as of early November. Other respondents, more than half, 53%, said that they're just somewhat active or not very active at all in their job search. A whopping 65% said that they don't expect to return before 2022, and a third don't expect to return before April of next year. Finally, 8% of the respondents said that they never planned to return to work. Goldman Sachs researchers previously estimated that 3.4 million people have left the labor force. About 1.5 million were early retirees, and 1 million were on-time retirements. The number of self-employed workers, by the way, has also ticked up. All of this adds up to one thing. Workers may not be coming back anytime soon. They are demanding higher pay, more safety measures, and better benefits. In many cases, they have decided after surviving a pandemic that life is too short to work in a job they don't like. As a result, millions of people have left their jobs. The estimates are that 58% of the 4 million exits that happened in September are temporary, but it's still unclear when they might return. For nearly 1.5 million folks, it won't probably matter until pandemic-related issues are resolved. And as Omicron starts to make its way through the U.S., it seems likely that pandemic-related issues will stick around for the time being. Businesses have had success retaining and hiring workers by keeping wages and benefits high. Much of this has been attributed to workers yielding more leverage. But as workers begin to re-envision work and what it means to them, and thousands take to the picket line to demand better conditions, labor leaders are hoping to take advantage of a pivotal moment to build worker power and collective union action. For some time, audiences in the U.S. have been demanding that there might be more diversity in television and movies, and that is starting to take hold. Reuters is reporting that more minorities are showing up in mainstream U.S. entertainment, from films and TV to music. For example, Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, the first Marvel movie to star an Asian superhero, surpassed $400 million at the box office less than 2 months after its mid-August release. The Eternals, which opened in November, features a diverse cast, including Marvel Studios' first deaf superhero and the first gay kiss in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Meanwhile, global mega-hit Squid Game, which debuted in September, helped Netflix win more customers than expected to the world's largest streaming service. Hellbound, another South Korean series, followed with a global debut at number one on Netflix in November. Well, it's finally official. Tesla is now headquartered in Texas rather than California. And for now, the HQ is housed in trailers on a 230-acre area next to the Gigafactory in Austin. Elon Musk's decision to move Tesla's headquarters to Texas has a lot to do with California's restrictions during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. The CEO first announced the move in May of 2020 in response to Alameda County's restrictions that made it harder for Tesla to restart production at the Fremont plant. Not long after that, Musk announced plans to build a large factory and complex in Austin. Throughout the time, Tesla's headquarters have remained in Palo Alto, California, even after Musk himself officially relocated to Texas. So now, Tesla is officially headquartered in Austin, Texas, although Musk is adamant that the company will continue to grow in California. For example, the company recently leased 325,000 square feet of office space from HP, where? Yeah, Palo Alto. Here's a mighty business lesson for you. Corporate executives have been moaning about supply chain disruptions and inflation that has put a crimp in sales. Yet, a recent review of corporate profits indicates that companies have more than made up for slower sales by hiking their prices, be it wholesale or direct to consumers. Business Insider is reporting that roughly 4 out of 5 companies surveyed by the Richmond Federal Reserve reported hiking up prices for consumers to cover at least some of the input costs that they were experiencing. But those same execs have been a bit more, well, discreet, apart from their quarterly earnings calls, about celebrating the record profit margins they've been able to achieve by not only passing costs on to customers, but by charging even more. More than half of the companies surveyed by the Small Business Services Review website Digital.com reported raising prices beyond what was required to offset rising input costs. Small business expert Dennis Consorte said in a statement, quote, "In other words, businesses are inflating already inflated prices in order to turn a bigger profit, even while people are fearing uncertain times," end quote. Additionally, large firms were more likely to engage in this practice than small businesses. In fact, the latest data from the U.S. Commerce Department shows that the last time corporate profit margins were so large was December of 1950. It was a big day on Wall Street as the Dow pushed aside inflation worries and COVID worries and bounced up by 617 points to close at 34,639, and the NASDAQ kicked up by 127 points to end the trade at 15,318, while the S&P 500 picked up 64 points to close at 4577. Airline, casino, and energy stocks led the gains today. Boeing shares jumped by 7.5% after China cleared the 737 MAX to return to the air. On the other side, Apple stock dropped after Bloomberg News reported that new iPhone sales are slowing ahead of the holiday season. It's Thursday. Hang on. There's always tomorrow. And finally, there is this. Bloomberg is reporting that the payment technology company Square will change its name to Block as it hones in on blockchain technology and looks to grow its footprint outside of its prominent credit card reader business. The Jack Dorsey-helmed company's move, which goes into effect on December 10, comes just days after Dorsey himself resigned as the chief executive of Twitter. It also follows Square's recent forays into peer-to-peer digital banking, small business lending, and crypto and stock trading. The early bounce is that it's an exciting move now that Dorsey can focus on this rather than be distracted by Twitter. Well, that's a wrap for the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Jap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.